Welcome to the Capital News. I'm your host, Alex Kritis. Today is Wednesday, January 20th, 2021. Thank you so much for joining me. The title of today's podcast, Joe Biden's Inauguration. So the 46th President of the United States was sworn into office this afternoon, as was Vice President Kamala Harris, an historic day as she becomes the first female vice president, along with the first Black and Asian vice president of the United States. So whatever you might think of VP Harris, this was, to some degree, an historic day, and that needs to be recognized. Now, of course, you may love Kamala Harris, you may not like Kamala Harris. That's definitely the side of the coin I come down on. I do not think she is fit for the position. I don't think Joe Biden's fit for the position. I did not vote for these people. But nonetheless, that's how it works. I had a vote. I had my voice. You had yours. That's how it works, folks. So we have a Biden-Harris administration. We will see what they can do. Of course, I think this is just more par for the course. This is the old case of meet the new boss, same as the old boss. And in fact, this guy, you know, the oldest president, and he was there for 47 years. This is just a never-ending downward cycle. And this is just, as I've stated here many, many times over the past couple of years, a two-party system that has taken us off the rails. And all it really comes down to at the end of the day is pressure gets built up on either side of the political spectrum, and the release valve needs to be turned. So all of that pressure and all of that steam can be released. The pendulum swings back and forth. 8 years of a Democrat administration, 8 years of a Republican, now it's four, maybe it'll be four next time. Back and forth we go. That's all it is. There are high hopes. There's optimism. People want to be optimistic. They want to be hopeful of the future, that if we do come together, we can achieve great things. That's all great stuff. It really is. And I'm an optimist by nature. But I don't do this podcast to lie to you. I'm not here to paint pictures of rainbows and unicorns. I'm here to paint the real picture, to identify problems, and to provide solutions. Now, my solutions are pretty simple. They're pretty straightforward. It's not me pulling on all of the levers of power and through the economy and through society. That's not how it's supposed to be. We have the blueprint. It's called the Constitution of the United States. It's called free market capitalism. It's reducing the size and scope and power of our government at every level, especially the federal level. And then the rest of it is up to we the people, not we the government. That's what it says. It says we the people, not we the government. That's a pretty basic statement to understand. But for some reason, people do not grasp it. They have a political philosophy, for whatever reason, that bigger government is justified, that bigger government is needed, that bigger government is the right thing to do, and it is not. And there is nothing but evidence to prove that case, that bigger governments do not work. Because governments exist at the expense of the people. And government doesn't make money, it takes it from us, the productive sector. And then it recycles all of that tax money, and it gives it to whomever they think needs it the most. Maybe that's people at the lower end of the income bracket, or maybe it's with those at the highest end of the income bracket, the 1%. The 1% of the 1%. Social welfare is just as dangerous and destructive as is corporate welfare. And we are living in the midst of that, in overdrive. And now with the policies that are coming down the pike, that have been coming down the pike, and what are likely going to continue to come down the pike, are going to be even worse across the entire spectrum. And who's going to have to pay for it? Well, we the people are. Through inflation, through higher taxes, through lost prosperity and future growth. Talk about it all the time. U.S. debt clock here, right? $28 trillion today, $49 trillion in 4 years from now. Yet GDP is only going to increase by a few trillion dollars over this next four-year period at current levels. We are not getting the bang for the buck. And now we have one dingbat and idiot after the next getting on camera, testifying before members of Congress and members of the Senate, and saying now is not the time to focus on our debt. So we have a debt problem, and the solution, evidently, is to add more debt on top of it. This was the same argument with the same cast of characters just a little over a decade ago during the Great Financial Crisis that said the same exact thing. We have a crisis caused by debt. The solution, they claim, is to add more debt to the picture. No, that's not correct. If that was the solution, then the economy would have been booming during the Obama administration. It wasn't. Now, we experienced the longest business expansion from the Obama administration through the first few years of the Trump administration. But that's what happens when you print trillions of dollars, when you have several rounds of quantitative easing, when you have hundreds of billions in trillion-dollar deficits, as I stated yesterday and many times before. If you make $100,000, okay, you spend the $100,000. But if you make $100,000 and somebody gives you an extra $50,000, an extra $100,000, an extra million, you're going to have a good time. But the piper always needs to be paid. There is no free lunch. If that program of adding more debt to a debt problem was the solution, then Donald Trump would not have been elected. Because if everything was fantastic by those policies, Hillary Clinton would have been a shoo-in. Because the economy was humming along, why change anything up? But that wasn't the case. People were depressed. People were desperate. People were frustrated with the system. Because their wages weren't going up, but their cost of living sure as hell was. And that continues to be the case. And even if there is some marginal wage growth, it doesn't keep up with the increase and the rate of increase with respect to the cost of living. And as we have been noting here, because I think this is such a critical point, if we're going from $28,500 per family, that's savings, today, and then 4 years from now, it's at $1,500 per household, per family. That's a disgrace. You think things are bad now? Wait till 4 years from now when we've accumulated another $22 trillion in debt. And it could very well be worse than that. Because we don't know what they're planning. We don't know what's actually going to happen, if there's going to be more lockdowns, more restrictions. Not just in this country, but globally, right? We don't know if they're going to push the narrative that this new strain of COVID-19 is really that much more dangerous, that much of a concern. And so we have to play this game all over again. We don't know for certain if these vaccines are going to work. We can hope that they're going to work, but we don't know that. There still remains a ton of unknowns out there, and there remains quite a few certainties out there. It's just a question of timing. Markets that are completely overvalued, pretty much across all markets, or they're rigged, and this is not just me saying this because that's what I believe. We know this because of deferred prosecution agreements, one bank after the next, manipulating one market after the next. A slap on the wrist, pay a big fine, and of course, that doesn't come out of the CEO's pocket, that doesn't come out of the board members' pockets, no, comes out of the shareholders' pockets. Nobody goes to jail. Two-tier justice system. Is that going to be solved? Is that going to be rectified because we have a Biden-Harris administration? And because Joe Biden gave a good speech this afternoon, which he most definitely did, as they all do, because they are the president of the United States. This is a very important speech. This is a very important moment in any incoming administration. This is really their first message to the country. So it's all hands on deck. The president himself, his family, his friends, mentors, his team, speechwriters, anybody he can call to get help to write a great speech. He hit the right tone on a number of points, made a lot of good points. And of course, the media, the left-wing media, couldn't be happier today. Could not be any happier. Smiles, high fives, pats on the back. Finally rid of President Donald Trump. They couldn't wait. Of course, we have ridiculous media hypocrisy on both sides. Change the channel. Flip through them. If you watch Fox News, hey, guess what? Fox News can do a fantastic job of pointing out the hypocrisy on MSNBC, CNN, and a whole bunch of Democratic politicians. But if you change the channel and you watch MSNBC or CNN, guess what? They do the same thing, and they do a great job of pointing out the hypocrisy of people on Fox News and Republican lawmakers. That's all it is. They have you wrapped around their fingers, pulling you on a string, making you dance, making you sing, making you sit down, whatever they want to do, they got you. This two-party system has got to go. The media does not help any matters. You have President Biden, who is attempting to rise to the occasion, which of course any incoming president is going to do, hopefully. Yet the media loves that story, love that Joe Biden was making that same message during his campaign. Yet where was the media? Were they rising to the occasion? No, of course not. They were in the mud with Donald Trump, either because they took Donald Trump down there with them because that's where they wanted to go, or Donald Trump took them down there and they followed. There was none of this when they go low, we go high stuff. Somebody goes in the mud, well, we're going to follow them right into it. It's exactly the same case. Where were we 4 years ago? We had Democrats crying, literally crying, because Donald Trump became president. It's ridiculous. How could this ever happen? Bah, 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 bah. Then right out of the gate, there needs to be investigations into Donald Trump and his family and his organization, because there's no doubt that he was involved with foreign actors. So we got to start these investigations immediately. So they're crybabies about the election, and then there has to be investigations because the president, Donald Trump himself, and his family and organizations are involved with foreign entities. Oh, my goodness. Wouldn't you know it, today on Fox, you have Republicans upset, playing the crybaby role, that Donald Trump lost, Joe Biden won, and the Democrats are in control of both chambers of Congress. And guess what? There's a story that the Biden family has to be investigated because they're involved with foreign actors. You can't make this stuff up. You could put me on LSD, acid, I don't know. Pick your drug. I couldn't come up with this garbage. But this is what we deal with every single day, and people get so invested into it. And they think that this is the problem. They think the other side is the problem. It's both sides here. You have to rise above this. You do not have to go down these rabbit holes, one conspiracy theory after the next, just because it sounds good to you. Just because you're a Republican and you don't like the Democrats, and now you think, oh, now the Democrats, we're finally going to get them. Our day of justice, those Democrats are going to jail, and vice versa. Democrats despise the Republicans. Oh, now we're finally going to get them. What happened to Donald Trump? Nothing. Nothing. What do you think is going to happen to Joe Biden? Probably nothing. Because this is how it happens. This is how it works. Rigging the markets. What happens to these mega banks? What happens to these CEOs and the traders and everybody who's responsible? Nothing. Nothing. That's what you pay attention to. That's not a conspiracy theory. That's not political. That's not left or right. That's just fact. And it's reported. And it's documented. You don't have to put on the tinfoil hat. You don't have to go into your silo where you feel safe with your security blanket, where everybody agrees with what you think in Fox News or MSNBC. There are actually things out there that can unite this country, that frustrates everybody on both sides of the aisle and in between. That's what I try to do here every single day on this podcast. There are a million and one legitimate reasons to put our government and politicians and bureaucrats on notice. And probably more than that. But people don't want to pay attention to it. They're more concerned and more fascinated by the circus. Remember, I stated this back during the election. That's what I like to call it, the circus, because it's a show. You had the DNC for their convention come out. And what did I tell you? They're going to pull out all the stops, all the bells and whistles. If they want to make you cry, you're going to cry. If they want to make you frustrated and angry, that's how you're going to feel. If they want to make you feel happy and inspired, check, you got it. This ain't their first rodeo. They hire professionals who do this for a living. They spend millions and millions of dollars to get that exact production. And they get what they pay for. And then the following week, you have the RNC or the GOP convention. What, same thing. Uplifting speeches, well-delivered, right tone, right backdrop, fireworks here, applause there, military bands there, whatever it is, to make it look good, to make it sound good, because that's what you want to hear. And everybody just puts things aside, forgets all about the division, forgets about all about the corruption. I feel good now because they put on a show for me for a couple of hours. Meanwhile, they continue to run up the debts and deficits. Meanwhile, they continue to steal money from us through the process of inflation. Meanwhile, they continue to trample on our Constitution. And then when there's an event, like we witnessed a couple weeks ago with the breaching of the U.S. Capitol, these idiots on the floor of the Senate and the House get up and they pretend that they love history and that they love and respect and cherish the Constitution of the United States. More hypocrisy. There is almost never going to be a shortage of hypocrisy in the halls of any government or its media. But when it comes to this degree that we are witnessing and have been witnessing and are most likely going to continue to witness, to me, this is just another sign, another checking of the box that this country is in decline and in decay. Can the future be better than the past and the present? Absolutely it can. Absolutely. But we're on a boat, and the idiots at the helm have been drilling holes into the hull of the boat for years. Now, it's a big boat, so okay, we can tolerate it. People can come together and get buckets and throw the water out, and we can keep floating. But it's not the best. We shouldn't really be doing this. But that's what we continue to do. It's hard for me to be optimistic when we continue to implement those same policies of drilling holes into the hull of the ship. How can I be optimistic? It's not just continuing the same policies. It's actually now the same group of people doing it. Didn't like Donald Trump. Couldn't take his antics. So the country puts in Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. This is the same team that was there 4 years. This is the Obama administration part two. That's all it is. Same faces, same names. What do you think is going to happen? The same stuff that led, again, as I stated earlier, to the election of Donald Trump, because the policies that they implemented were not lifting up the entire country. It was one of the largest wealth transfers ever in human history. That's what quantitative easing was. That's what inflation does. You know, the president, on his farewell address, President Trump wants to talk about and tout stock market records one after the other. Well, guess what? President Obama could have made the same statement. Whole bunch of all-time highs under his watch. Bill Clinton could have made similar statements. Pretty much that's how it always works unless you're in the midst of a huge crisis. The stock market goes up years after year after year. Typically, that's what occurs. Again, unless there is some big crisis that occurs that really suppresses and brings down those prices. Well, we know the breakdown. We know 10% of the country owns 90% of all equities. So it's not as if this has been a broad-based rally for the country uplifting everybody. That's not the case. Because if that was the case, then Donald Trump would have won. In addition to some other things that I noted yesterday and many times before, if he could just keep on with the same tone, with a level tone, with a level head, not be so aggressive, not so combative, not so upset and demonizing the Democratic Party, maybe show a little bit more empathy with respect to COVID-19 and some other issues, and he probably would have won again. Not because he did anything fantastic. Of course, he'll tell you that everything he did was fantastic. It wasn't. But he was not much any different than any other Republican administration. That's just the facts of the case. There's no draining of the swamp. The swamp got bigger. Deficits got bigger, etc., etc. We ran this yesterday. Where do we go from here? Well, what's going to happen with the impeachment? Are the Democrats going to continue with that? Probably. They'll have, you know, we can walk and chew gum at the same time, so it needs to be done. They're going to come through and pass some other type of quote-unquote stimulus, Nobody Cares Act 3.0. The question is, when will it pass, and how big is it going to be? Right now, it's at $1.92 trillion, right there. A lot of money. Would be one of the largest bills ever passed if it comes through. I'm sure Republicans will magically gain a spine and remember some of their principles, remember the Constitution all of a sudden, and be concerned with debts and deficits and future prosperity, blah, 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 blah. I'm sick of these people. They got to go. Hashtag fire Congress, every single one of them. And of course, the media will play up Joe Biden as being this grandfatherly figure, somebody who has years of experience, and supposedly with all of that experience comes wisdom, but not in this case, unfortunately, because it's going to be the same stuff. You know, that's the definition of insanity. And that's how the left-wing media is going to continue to portray this. Fox News, talk radio on the right, it's going to be what we witnessed for the past 4 years on MSNBC and CNN going after Donald Trump. Now Fox and talk radio are going to go hard and heavy after Biden and Harris. Politics is about division, unfortunately. That's what gets eyeballs. That's what gets ears paying attention, unfortunately. Because that's what people want to hear. They want to feel that they're right. They want to feel that they're not alone, that somebody else thinks like me. That it's those damn Republicans. Or it's those damn Democrats. See, this guy agrees with me. And he's on the news or he's on the radio. He must be smart. She must be smart. They must know what they're talking about. So that means I'm smart and they're my friend because we agree with the same stuff. We think the same way. Well, this is only going to get worse. Now, we have the censorship with big tech that I don't like, but at the same time, these are private companies. That's how you got to deal with it. We lived without these technologies and these platforms for thousands and thousands of years as a species. I think we can do without them too. Now, that's going to be difficult for a lot of people, unfortunately. But even if they were up, even if you had your Twitter and you had your Parler, as I stated months ago, this is groupthink. They're all going to go to their respective platforms with their respective political beliefs, and that's it. And because you have the 24/7 news cycle, and because it's so divisive, and because it's so combative, people just pretend to know what the other side automatically thinks on every issue. Well, if you're a Democrat, you think all of these things. Or if you're a Republican, you think all of these things. And that prevents these people, Americans, brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, family members, best friends from actually sitting down and having conversations with each other because they know your political point of view. And that's it. That's all they need to know. If you're a Democrat, oh, I can't even have a conversation with you because you're going to believe blah, 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 blah. Or if you're a Republican, I can't have a conversation with you because all you're going to do is believe blah, 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 blah. How are we going to move forward with that mindset? Because that's exactly what's going on. And unfortunately, it's likely going to get worse. And you got to hand it to these corporations, these news outlets. I mean, they don't miss a beat, boy. I mean, he's not even sworn into office and boom, boom, boom. Here it comes. They're pushing on it. Same thing when Trump was sworn in. Boom, not boom. Right out of the gate. Investigate, investigate, investigate. Right out of the bat. Right out of the gate. And we wonder why we can't solve anything. Because you're distracted by the circus. Because there's a lot of things to be upset about. There's a lot of things to be frustrated with. I get it. I get it. That's why I knew Donald Trump was going to win in 2016. I knew he was tapping into something. Not that he necessarily understands what those people were going through or has any real empathy. But the man's an opportunist. He sees an opportunity. He sees a market. He seized it. He knew the key words that he had to say to motivate these people. He learned on the campaign trail, on the debate stage, what gets an applause, what gets a laugh, what gets a vote. It was positive reinforcement. Oh, if I keep doing this, good things. Oh, ooh, yeah, let me keep doing that. This isn't Donald Trump tapping into this because he actually believes it. He's agnostic. He's an opportunist. He wanted to win. He found a market. He seized it and he won. That's what's so dangerous. He's not the first demagogue to come along. He won't be the last, unfortunately, either. The problem is the next one that's going to come down the pike is probably going to be more dangerous because he or she is actually going to know what they're doing. That's the one you got to really be worried about. Because these problems aren't going to be solved by doing the same things that we have been doing, just under a different name, just under a different administration, just under a different political party. That doesn't solve anything. In fact, it's likely going to get even worse. Because at least now, the Republicans will appear to have grown a spine and will stand up and at least attempt to slow some of this stuff down. But when the shoe was on the other foot and the Republicans had control of the White House and both chambers of Congress, debt, deficits, what are those things? Future prosperity, children, future generations that have nothing to do with this, unethical, immoral, and American, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. Now all of a sudden, at least they're going to at least put on a show to slow some of it down. Because with all of that other stuff, Nobody Cares Act, the Democrats were more than happy to give more. So it was just a question of, what's the number? How big can we get? That's all. Even Trump was like, make it as big as possible. I'll sign it. Okay? I don't know how much more you need to see, how much more you need to hear. But I know most of you will continue to vote for these people. Most of you will continue to operate as a Republican or a Democrat. Most of you will not have taken my advice and my suggestion. And what I urge this audience to do is to change your political voter registration. Leave this two-party system, which is really one at the end of the day. Become a libertarian, independent, unaffiliated. It's a peaceful measure. It's an easy one to do. And it sends a message. And then you can start taking other steps to get more aggressive to putting these politicians and these and our government on notice. Start sending letters. Start going to town halls. Start making a stink. Start supporting other candidates from other parties. That's how it's done. And it's not going to be easy. Politics is about money and power, and these people are not going to give up either of those things easily. We had the opportunity with the revolution in this country with Barack Obama. He blew it. I didn't vote for him, didn't support him with my vote. But he had an opportunity. I talk about that here all the time because of what he came into. He blew it. Donald Trump, with what he came into and the message that he had a blank slate too. A revolution, if you will. He blew it. And now we're right back to where we've been with the same cast of characters. And somehow people think this time's going to be different. I don't know what you're taking. I don't know what you're smoking. But let me know. I'd be interested to know. And of course today, markets hit all-time highs, closing highs on Wall Street. Absolutely love the fact that this is final. That President Biden is President Biden. He is sworn in as the 46th President of the United States. That a new Senate has been sworn into office that now gives the Democrats control of the Senate with Vice President Kamala Harris being the tie-breaking vote. I mean, Wall Street just took off. And this is all off of the basis, not because there's going to be fundamental economic growth, but because Dingbat doesn't care about debt. So just have a party. Keep it going. Keep the crack addicts on Wall Street happy. That's all you got to do. Even overnight futures trading, the Dow Jones is up another percentage point. S&P 500 is up another third of a percent. The NASDAQ 100 is gaining 7/10 of 1%. I mean, this is just up, up, up all the way across the planet. The Japanese cash trade is up 0.8%. A sea of green across the pond in Europe. Australian cash trade is up another 0.6%, hitting an 11th month high. I believe the Indian exchange, and now at 50,000 points, I think that's an all-time high or very close to it. Where's the economic growth? There isn't there. It isn't there. This is money printing. This is debt accumulation. This is a race to the bottom. Things are going to look good maybe on paper, but in reality, if the cost of living keeps going up at a faster clip, which is what's going to happen, it already is underway. When you calculate your real gains, you're really not ahead of the curve. Gold and silver finally had a good day, both still up overnight as well. Gold at $1,871 an ounce, silver at $25.92 an ounce. Those are spot prices. So silver was able to regain the 25 handle and is nearing that 26 handle with respect to the spot price. Uncle Sam's 10-year junk note yielding 1.08%. So we'll obviously watch this and talk about this on a daily or near daily basis as we always do. What are the markets doing? How are they responding to the Biden-Harris administration? Of course, that's just the smokescreen. It's all money printing behind the scenes. It's really what it's all about. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, as we were taught in The Wizard of Oz. Exactly what we're dealing with here. Other than that, looks like it's, again, just a case of meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Do we want and wish well Joe Biden and Kamala Harris? Absolutely. We're Americans. This is our system. It was a quote-unquote peaceful transition of power today. Thank God there were no riots, no injuries, as far as I know, especially at least in Washington, D.C. But still, the image was with 9-foot fences, barbed wire fences, and 25 to 30,000 National Guardsmen and federal agents. That's not the image we should be conveying, but it's the one we find ourselves in because of what we have done to ourselves and what we'll likely continue, what we will continue to do to ourselves. Because it's all about winning at any cost. It's more about being on the team that wins than being a part of the American team, the American family that moves forward together. It's not going to be easy. It never was. Don't be naive. Don't lie to yourself. This is not an easy experiment in self-governance. That's why we have to have government as small and as limited as possible. That's why we have to legalize freedom as much as possible, because it works. Joe Biden's inauguration, 46th President of the United States, sworn into office. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capitol News. I am Alex Kritis. Godspeed.